Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Our Savior Lutheran Church this November 19th, 2023, the 25th Sunday after Pentecost. We're live here, our Sunday morning worship at 10 a.m. and on the radio at 11 a.m. WPHM. Podcasts and service recordings are available at Our Savior Lutheran and on our Facebook page, Port Huron Our Savior, and we welcome those joining us through our Facebook live stream. The broadcast today is sponsored by our longtime anonymous donor. We thank you. Our worship leader today is our own pastor, Pastor Charlie Martin. Our accompanist is Carol Cataldo. Our sound board is Hope Dorsbacher. Our vocalist is Jennifer Hudson. And I'm Bill Price. My wife Kay and I will be assisting Pastor Charlie. Our readings during November speak of the end times. Zephaniah proclaims that the coming day of the Lord will be filled with wrath and distress. Paul says it will come like a thief in the night and urges us to be awake and sober. Jesus tells the parable of the talents, calling us to use our gifts for the greater and common good while we wait for his return. In a world filled with violence and despair, we gather around the signs of hope, word, community, water, bread, and wine, eager to spread the good news of Christ's coming among us. Our gathering hymn today is, O God, our help in ages past.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, in whose image we are made, who claims us and calls us beloved. Amen. Holy One, we confess that we are not awake for you. We are not faithful in using your gifts. We forget the least of our siblings. We do not see your beautiful image in one another. We are infected by sin that divides your beloved community. Open our hearts to your coming. Open our eyes to see you in our neighbor. Open our hands to serve your creation. Amen. Beloved, we are God's children, and Jesus, our beloved, opens the door to us. Through Jesus, you are forgiven. By Jesus, you are welcome. In Jesus, you are called to rejoice. Let us live in the promises prepared for us from the foundation of the world. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the community of the Holy Spirit is with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Righteous God, our merciful Master, you own the earth and all its people, and you give us all that we have. Inspire us to serve you with justice and wisdom, and prepare us for the joy of the day of your coming. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated for the readings.
The first reading is from Zephaniah, from chapter 1, verses 7 and 12 through 18. Zephaniah, like the prophet Amos in last week's first reading, presents the day of the Lord as one of judgment and wrath. Descriptions of the last day in the New Testament include details taken from Old Testament accounts of the day of the Lord. The reading begins, "Be silent before the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has consecrated his guests. At that time, I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the people who rest complacently on their dregs, those who say in their hearts, 'The Lord will not do good, nor will he do harm.' Their wealth shall be plundered and their houses laid waste. Though they build houses, they shall not inhabit them. Though they plant vineyards, they shall not drink wine from them. The great day of the Lord is near, near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The warrior cries aloud there. That day will be a day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet blast and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the lofty battlements. I will bring such distress upon people that they shall walk like the blind. Because they have sinned against the Lord, their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like dung. Neither their silver nor their gold will be able to save them on the day of the Lord's wrath. In the fire of his passion, the whole earth shall be consumed. For a fool, a terrible end, he will make of all the inhabitants of the earth." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm today is from Psalm 90. The antiphon is, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom." Lord, you have been our refuge from one generation to another. Before the mountains were brought forth, or the land and the earth were born, from age to age, you are God. You turn us back to the dust and say, "Turn back, O children of earth. For a thousand years in your sight are like yesterday, when it is past, and like a watch in the night. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. You sweep them away like a dream. They fade away suddenly like the grass.
In the morning it is green and flourishes.
In the evening it is dried up and withered. For we are consumed by your anger. We are afraid because of your wrath.
our iniquities you have set before you, and our secret sins in the light of your countenance. Remember our days that we may acquire our hearts. When you are angry, all our days are gone. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The span of our life is 70 years, perhaps in strength even 80. Yet the sum of them is but labor and sorrow, for they pass away quickly, and we are gone. Who regards the power of your wrath? Who rightly fears your indignation? So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Our second reading is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Though we do not know and cannot calculate the day of Christ's return, we live faithfully in the here and now as we anticipate the day when we will be given eternal salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. The reading begins. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. But you, beloved, are not in darkness for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So then let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who are drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love. And for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise as you are able.
Please join with me in the gospel acclamation. Alleluia. Abide in me as I abide in you. Those who abide in me bear much fruit. Alleluia. Our gospel today is from St. Matthew, the 25th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours." But his master replied, "You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to Christ.
You may be seated. So this gospel passage we just heard may have us scratching our heads, trying to relate it to what Jesus would normally be teaching us about. Like last Sunday, it really is a focus on the end times and what we are to do to prepare for that event. If we listen carefully, we hear that the master went away and returned after a long time. Matthew, likely, again is teaching his followers that Jesus is going to be away from them for a long time, so that this does not have them worry about that fact. We too are not to be worried about Jesus being gone for a long time. But this passage tells us a bit about how we are to be during that long wait that we decided that we needed to have some patience for last week. The first two servants were both rewarded with the same gift to enter into the joy of their master. Some of the details in this passage are really important for us. None of these servants were given any particular instructions from the master before he left. They were just given the amounts based on their skill levels, not more than they could manage, and they were left to their own imaginations for what they could do. So let us focus just a bit on that third servant, who is gripped by fear of the master and then does what he thinks is best based on that level of fear. He does not even entrust the talent to the bank to earn interest for the master, maybe fearing a bank issue or a market crash where he might lose all of the master's money. This to him is a perceived disaster, which would perhaps cause him to be condemned by his master, which he ended up in anyway. So what is our level of fear? What is it that we are afraid of? Does fear ever have a major grip on us? Probably everyone has something that gets to them. We probably all jump when the first clap of thunder comes, even when we know we're in the midst of an oncoming storm. Some people are terrified with thunder and can't get through it easily. Certainly some pets struggle with this as well, which is why they sell thunder shirts for pets. We actually had one, but for fireworks for Lila. I used to have a dog that would actually hide underneath the car in the garage whenever there was a thunderstorm that came up. Why he thought that was a safe place, I have no idea, but that's where he desperately wanted to be at. A lot of people have a lot of other fears. Arachnophobia, which is an intense fear of spiders and other arachnids, affects many who will run to whoever they can find nearby to save them from that spider, which only sometimes really is a good idea, if and rarely they are one of the poisonous ones. Then there is ophidiophobia, which is an intense fear of snakes, which I sort of share a little bit of. They're not any of my favorite creatures because of my experiences with them when I was young. We spent an awful lot of time at my grandfather's small farm where he had a big hay field for cattle feed. Snakes seemed to love to go into that field and would hide in there. And you would not see them if you wandered through it before you almost stepped right on them. The Bible book of Genesis, with its story of Eve and the serpent, doesn't really help much with the reputation of snakes. Then there are the more interrelational fears that are even more likely to impact us as people. These are probably even more prevalent these days with so many people that have moved from one job to another. Fear of failure is one that is reported to be existing at a rather high level, probably more due to the level of success that people place on themselves than what they have fed back to them. We are typically more likely to put this pressure onto ourselves in a job situation, hoping maybe to advance or secure a raise. Rejection is a similar concern that many might fear, especially with so much out there on Facebook and other places on the internet. It's so easy to receive criticism that negatively affects us, rather than constructional criticism, or some words to build us up, as we are told to be about in the Eighth Commandment. That the third servant in our passage had fears is not an unreasonable situation. He's like most of us. His being so trapped by his fears so as to do nothing is his problem. His fear was of the master coming back after a long time, who we perceive may in reality in this story be Jesus, who really loves and cares about us. Maybe we should open up what was at stake for him so we can better understand his situation. A talent was a very large sum of money in those days. This was effectively what would take a person to earn over 15 years. Losing that or any part of it would be hard to recover from. Now, we all know talent to mean something very different in our lives, that this represents a skill that we learned or more likely were born with. Can we then imagine the servant that was given the 5 talents, equal to 75 earnings? Yet, he turned this into double that amount. He was not crippled by fear. It is not that we don't have fears, it's how we manage them, which may be most important. What we can grasp is that this is not about money at all. This is about the gifts that we were given in our lives, particularly the gift that we were given to us at our baptisms. We are all called to be disciples of Jesus in that event in our lives and are then expected to use that gift to do what Jesus asks of us, to go out and make disciples of others. We cannot just have that event of baptism in our lives and not do anything with it, effectively ignoring that it ever even took place. The action of making more talents isn't about day trading, as some have done for their lives' work. It is about living our faith by showing others mercy, love, and compassion as we wait patiently a long time for Jesus to return. We do this when we pull out a 5 for the beggar on the corner, not worrying about whether they really need it or not, or what they may actually spend it on. We do this when we help the struggling mom with a toddler and a very full basket of groceries. We do this when we smile, even if we think we actually have been offended by how we were being treated by the clerk. Our instruction manual for living this life is the Word of God that has been written down for us in our Bibles. What if that third servant had tried and failed in using that talent? What if we try and fail at using our gifts? We never know when any of our actions bring others to decide to know God, to trust God, to have something that they need in their lives. The Spirit working with us will maybe much later have this person reconsider the message we have left with them, and they end up discovering Christ. Trying and failing are honored by the grace given to us by Jesus. Not trying is what we should really fear as we continue to wait a long time for the return of our Lord Jesus. When the master, who we now think may be Jesus, is accused of reaping where he did not sow and gathering where he did not scatter seed, this may refer to Jesus gathering others from other flocks and bringing them to himself also, as we can hear in John. This is likely about those who call God by other names, but trust in God to deliver them. We love them, irrespective of our divisive society, and know that they are loved children of God. We can all use the term fear God as our respect for the awesome God that we acknowledge, but we trust that God is watching over us, forgiving our failures, and loving our attempts to reap good fruit out of the others we engage with. Our God is a loving God who has been our dwelling place for all generations, for all time. From everlasting to everlasting, God loves us and all that God has made. Amen. Let us turn our hearts to God, our breath and life, as we pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need.
Gracious God, you give talents and gifts to all your people, and you equip the church to serve. Turn us from fear and self-serving ways, that we use our talents to glorify you and encourage our neighbor. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You have been our dwelling place from one generation to another. Sustain the life of the planet. Protect farmlands and harvests. Direct all people in wise stewardship of the earth's resources. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You call us to honesty and integrity. Instill those values in the hearts of all nations and their leaders. Free any who are oppressed, expose all corruption, and bring redemption to the victims of injustice. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You teach us to count our days that we may gain a wise heart. Where there is sickness or sorrow, bring healing, and where there is loneliness, reveal your love in community. We remember before you today June Albert, Janet Baldwin, Marion Bradke, Tanya Cleaver, Deb Cook, Pastor Don and Cheryl Dorsbacher, Ken Doughty, Tim DeTerry, Barb Downing, Tony Gaines, Thomas Ginn, Barbara Gruitt, Brian Hedberg, Rob Kornfeld, Lois Langolf, Pastor Charlie Martin, Cherry Moserat, Beverly and Ed O'Connor, David Quater, Leon Quater, Natalie Raymond, Carl Rich, Pat Roberts, Don Siebert, Sandy Smith, Carol Watson, Douglas Weaver, Jim and Flo Young, the families of Donna Barnish, Judy Redmond, and Carl Erickson with their passing, Narcotics Anonymous Project Return, and those serving to protect our nation, both home and overseas, that they may return safely. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for the faith formation ministries of our church. Give to all children, youth, and adults who study your word the breastplate of faith and love. Shape us by your love and show us how to encourage one another. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Dear Lord, we continue to pray for the people of the Middle East, and we hope that you will be with them and be with the leaders that will help to bring this conflict to an ending. We pray for those who are suffering from being wounded or illnesses from bad water and lack of food. We pray that you will be with them all. We continue as well to pray for those who are still recovering from hurricanes, wildfires, and floods. And we pray that you will be with them and strengthen them in gaining their strength and their lives back. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Gracious God, you are faithful in all generations for the promise of life and rest and for the witness of those who have died in faith. We praise your goodness. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We offer our spoken prayers and those held in our hearts, trusting in your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ is with you always.
And also with you.
You may be seated for the offering.
Thank you for your continued support of the Christian ministry of Our Savior Lutheran Church. I have a few announcements. Any families interested in providing aid to the crisis in the Holy Land can do so through the World Relief site. The 2024 offering envelopes are available for pickup in the table in the Narthex. This service is now on live stream on Facebook, and you contact the church office if you would like us to send you a link. The Thanksgiving Eve service will be Wednesday, November 22nd at 4 p.m. The offering will be for World Hunger, and that will continue through January 1st of 2024. And we would also extend this invitation to any and all community members and our sister churches of St. Martin and St. Paul's. There's a tree in the back in the narthex set up for tags to support our Christmas family. And that is a family from Woodrow Wilson. And if you grab a tag or two, thank you very much for the gifts. And please return them by, let's see, December the 10th, I'm told. Thank you. Our offering prayer. God of all goodness, generations have turned to you, gathered around your table, and shared your abundant blessing. Number us among them that, as we gather these gifts from your abundance and give thanks for your rich blessing, we may feast upon your very self and care for all that you have made through Jesus Christ, our sovereign and servant.
Amen.
Our offering hymn is Have No Fear, Little Flock.
Please rise as you are able. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed
is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna in the highest.
Holy God, you alone are holy. You alone are God. The universe declares your praise beyond the stars, beneath the sea, within each cell, with every breath. We praise you, O God. Generations bless your faithfulness through the water, by night and day, across the wilderness, out of exile, into the future. We bless you, O God. We give you thanks for your dear Son at the heart of human life, near to those who suffer, beside the sinner, among the poor, with us now. We thank you, O God. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering his love for us on the way, at the table, and to the end, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We pray for the gift of your Spirit in our gathering, within this meal, among your people throughout the world. Blessing, praise, and thanks to you, Holy God, through Jesus Christ and by your Spirit in your church without end. Amen. And now let us pray with confidence in the words that our Savior gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. There is a place for you at the banquet. Come and feast at Jesus' table. You may be seated until we call you forward.
Christ be our light, shine in our hearts, shine through the
Please rise as you are able. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, in this simple meal you have set a banquet. Sustain us on the journey. Strengthen us to care for the least of your beloved children. And give us glad and generous hearts as we meet you on the way.
Amen.
Now may the God of all creation, in whose image we are made, who claims us and calls us beloved, who strengthens us for service, give you reason to rejoice and be glad. The blessing of God, Sovereign, Savior, and Spirit be with you today and always. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated for the sending
to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.